This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond just talking about Christianity to living more like Christ. We do this best together. You'll notice in the Bible, Christ formed a group of disciples. He taught them to pray together. In fact, he taught them just plain how to pray. They said, before we get what we call the Lord's Prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. We have with us as a guest, Doug Strainer. And we're focusing on the power of prayer today. We're thinking about how God works through corporate prayer. And Doug, thank you for joining us today. We had you last on after the Charleston event, the response. That was how long ago?
That was back in September, the end of September.
Yeah. And after that, there was the shooting that occurred in Charleston.
Oh, that's right. The one in Charleston we did in actually June the 13th, and the shooting was June the four days later.
Yeah. And while we continue to see shootings around the country, there's so much that's happened just since then. And I want our listeners to be aware, as you're helping lead this movement of prayer and these gatherings in stadiums, one coming up next month in Ohio, I want them to be aware of kind of what you're sensing. Where are we heading as a country? So, Doug, let's back up a little bit as we think about the power of United Prayer, and let's give our listeners an update. Some may not even know who you are and what you're about. Tell just a little bit of your story to catch people up.
Sure. Back in 2011, although I steward a ministry called Somebody Cares America and Somebody Cares International based in Houston, Texas. Some friends came to me from International House of Prayer and American Renewal Project with David and Cindy Lane and some others that I knew that worked with the governor of Texas. And they said, we really need to have a Joel 2 Solemn Assembly in the Reliant Stadium in Houston. And I thought, wow, you know, that is absolutely necessary. We're at a very critical place already in our country, and our only hope really is in the Lord. But it took a while for us to really talk through to make sure this really was going to be a Joel 2, 2 Chronicles 7:14 gathering, where we didn't have a bunch of preachers pontificating and a bunch of politicians giving speeches, but we authentically came in a posture of humility and repentance together, that we would come before the Lord, recognizing we have to fix our eyes on Him, and really coming in a posture of also repentance. As Joel chapter 2 says, you know, it's only, the book of Joel only consists of three chapters, yet it's a wake-up call for a whole nation that's in a crisis at the time. And so Joel pleaded for his nation to gather before God in a great sacred assembly. And their time of great crisis and need called for a corporate response, a response of corporate repentance and renewed consecration before God. And that's really where we are today. We live in a very challenging, critical, volatile time. And every day we see on the daily news, we see more great tragedies and crises and disasters. It's escalating in unprecedented ways here in 2016. So obviously the need for even back in 2011, it's accelerated since then. And so, yes, I said, absolutely, we need to do this. And to our amazement, we had over 40,000 gather at the Reliant Stadium in Houston in August of 2011. To cry upon the Lord for 6 hours in repentance, humility, calling upon the Lord. It wasn't about what we were against. It was about our posture in humility and repentance before the Lord, young and old alike. And it was a very powerful gathering that we felt was not about an event, but it really was about a posture of intercession and prayer and the posture of our hearts. And so in 2015, we did four. One was in Baton Rouge. Governor Jindal trumpeted that. In June, we were at the Charleston, North Charleston Coliseum with Governor Haley, who trumpeted that. It was a beautiful thing to see so many cross-racial, denominational, generational lines to put aside all of our personal preferences, agendas, political preferences and agendas, denominational, racial, to come before the Lord as a body of Christ, to call upon the Lord. And then we did one in Charlotte, where the movie War Room was filmed, in September. And then in October, we were actually in Orlando with the governor who attended from the governor of Florida. So it was a very powerful time of four gatherings last year amongst many other gatherings going on in the nation, but these particular ones called the response was where we really kept pure as we could a gathering, a simple understanding of a solemn assembly that Joel 2 is to come young and old in a desperate time in our nation for renewed consecration before God in repentance and humility. And we definitely see the acceleration even since then of where the needs are today. And July 16th, we will be in Cleveland, Ohio, 2 days before the RNC begins. And again, the importance that, you know, we see how volatile this whole year and the spiritual climate has been and the political climate, that we really felt it was important to gather on July 16th, almost like a Macedonia call. Many have been praying in that region saying, what are we going to do? We need to have a plumb line of peace and healing and hope from the church here when the whole eyes of the nation will be on Cleveland. And so we agreed to come on July the 16th to the Wolstein Center at Cleveland State University to gather crossing our racial, denominational, political lines and to call upon the name of the Lord.
Doug, some may be listening saying, well, this is exciting, but you know, prayer. I mean, where does it get us anyway? Can you think of any biblical precedents? I know you can, but share with our listeners. There's evidence, is there not, in the Bible that when God's people come together and pray, there can be great effect to impact the world in which we live.
Absolutely. You know, when you even think of King Hezekiah, and you can read about this in Isaiah 37, he recognized how volatile and how threatening things were at that time to the security of their nation and the spiritual climate. And he just went before the Lord with these petitions before God. And here's the king, here's the head of that nation, King Hezekiah. And he says, this is a day of trouble and distress, for the children are ready to come forth, but there's no strength to bring them forth or deliver. And we can see that in a spiritual context, that we have a whole generation ready to come into its destiny. We have people ready to come into their sense of purpose. And yet there's so many things and adversities coming against us and is trying to keep us from that place of keeping our eyes on the Lord. And in that place, Hezekiah cried out to God. He said, this is a time of contempt and it's a time of distress. And we really need to cry out to God. And he cried out to God. God heard his prayers and turned things around. We saw things, again, in the reform of Josiah. King Josiah saw how things had gotten so out of hand, and he began to set things back in order. And even Zephaniah and Jeremiah, contemporaries, inferring even to the goodness of what King Josiah did in 622 B.C., said, but if we don't also deal with inward corruption of the heart, it will not last. So what we have to do is twofold. One is we have to take responsibility. Yes, we need to all vote. We need to be involved. But we also need to first and foremost have a right posture of our own hearts and ask the Lord to work on us individually and corporately as the church so we have a heart awakening and to have a revival across America.
So the response, how did you come up with this title? Did God lay it on your heart? And what's behind it?
Well, as I said earlier, 2011, as the governor of Texas had agreed to and wanted to trumpet this solemn assembly, David Lane and some friends from IHOP, International House of Prayer, had been praying, and they said, well, this is a response, our response first to the Lord. How do we respond to the Lord in a time of crisis and difficulty as a nation? So how do we respond to the Lord? Well, we respond in a right posture. Secondly, we had a governmental official who was the highest in the state who was saying, we need to do this, and I want to be a part of this. We need a solemn assembly, a Joel 2 assembly. And so it was a response also to the, you know, the request of a governor of the state of Texas saying, we need to do this. And what he's saying is, look, we are the heads politically. We take care of things administratively. We have to take care of governmental issues. But at the end of the day, we need an intervention from heaven. And what better way than to ask the church of that state to rally together to be the church and seek God on behalf of our state. So it's really governors and leaders of our cities and our state and our nation saying, look, at the end of the day, we need God's intervention and we need the church to lay the posture, set the tone, and to lay the foundations for us to be able to cry out to God. So it's not that they're not for governing all people, but they're recognizing that there has been a precedent and there has been an example and there has been a prototype throughout the Bible as the church rallies together in a corporate assembly before God, calling upon the name of the Lord in unity, and unity in the Lord. Look, we're not against all the other religions. Actually, we say that everyone benefits from the church when the church takes right posture of heart and right posture in humility and repentance before the Lord, then as we take care of what God's dealing with us on, everyone else becomes beneficiaries of that, even those who oppose the church.
That's good. That's really good. On a related but different topic, Peter Marshall Jr. would like to make the point that when revival occurs, it impacts everyone, as you're saying. And he gave the analogy being up in New England. It's said that when the tide rises, all the ships rise together. And so as you're being involved, and I'm doing things here, and it's happening, isn't it? All over the country, the tide is rising. What an exciting time to see God lifting up a prayer movement. I know, Doug, you are in and out all over the country, connecting to other things that God's doing beyond the response events, which are statewide, and certainly drawing beyond that. So, for example, just the day after Ohio, something big's happening, is it not, in the Mall of Washington, D.C.? Talk to us for a minute about this. Do you see the tide rising, the tide of prayer around the country?
Absolutely. In fact, Dave Butts with the National Prayer Committee was stating that this is unprecedented in the midst of so many challenging things in our world, that this year alone, he's identified at least 26 or 28 national prayer, major prayer initiatives on behalf of the nation in this generation. And he says that's unprecedented for that many. So, you know, it's like seeing the cup half full versus half empty. Yes, we realize that we're in very difficult times, but we also recognize God is calling the church to its place of posture on its knees in humility before God. So this past even April the 9th in Washington, D.C., I was a part of United Cry, a gathering of pastors and key leaders, and Ann Graham Lotz shared, and Bishop Harry Jackson and Martin Luther King Jr.'s family was there, from Elvita King and Bernice King, and we had a gathering, so many leaders, key leaders that were there to pray on the Mall at Lincoln Memorial. At the same exact time across the nation in Los Angeles was Azusa Now with Lou England, 80,000 young people crying out to God for a new missions movement and evangelism movement across America. And at one point, we had a simulcast. So it's not competitive. It was East Coast to West Coast. People were praying in different posture, in different streams, were praying and calling out to God because we all recognize we need God's intervention. So on July 16th, there's something called Reset Together 16 with Nick Hall, and they're calling for hundreds of thousands of millennials and young people to gather at the mall in Washington, D.C. to worship and to seek the Lord and to share and to come together in unity. And I'm very much encouraging people, and was encouraging people to be a part of that, still am. So I don't see it as competitive, but when this opened up and realizing how critical this time really is and that the eyes of the nation were also going to be on Cleveland, Ohio on July 18th that week, then when the door opened up 2 days before the RNC started to gather together to call people to prayer and humility in preparation in that city, and recognizing many networks of leaders and pastors from various denominations and races were saying we were knowing something was supposed to happen, and we heard that there was a possibility of you bringing the response to Cleveland. We knew this was the Lord to build around as a leverage for the things that are already going on and what would be going on in outreach and worship rallies and prayer events going on throughout the week afterwards. So we knew that this was the Lord. And so we see this on July 16th at the exact same time from Washington, D.C. to Cleveland, that we're going to see God doing some incredible things as he hears the cries of his people. We're encouraging our friends in Philadelphia, and many of the prayer leaders are already doing prayer initiatives, and they're going to do something prior to the Democratic convention in Philadelphia at the end of July as well. So there is a move of prayer, a culture of prayer, a desperation of prayer. As Leonard Ravenhill used to teach me, he said, Doug, God doesn't answer prayer. He answers desperate prayer. And I think there's a sense of authentic desperation for the presence of God through prayer, and prayer not being a monologue, but truly a dialogue with God.
Wow. So I know your emphasis is that this is not political. It rises above politics. And here you've got an event, the response, the Lord does, but you're helping facilitate right before the Republican National Convention. You mentioned there's prayer in Philadelphia right before the Democratic Convention. Tell us about this whole area. Would people argue justly that this is not good? You don't ever want to mix prayer and politics. And are you kind of doing that? Give us a response.
Well, I think the church needs to be engaged and involved as far as even the place of bringing God's presence into our culture. So from education to the political arena to the media to all the spheres of our culture. We have abdicated our influence. We need to walk in civility. We have to walk in right posture before God. But I really think that as people have been praying, in fact, we're intentional that the day itself is fixed only on Jesus. We sell nothing. We peddle nothing. We have no displays. We don't take an offering. That day, the best that we, as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance, that platform and that day is about worship, fastedness before the Lord, and prayer. Not anybody who gets up to pray or read Scripture, is their name is not mentioned. They don't mention their own name, their own denomination. They don't mention who they are, because that day we only want one name lifted up, and that's Jesus. So if we can have people from various denominations and ethnicities and the generations come together, and political persuasions, everyone's invited. So, you know, what happens in there, everyone that shows up, if it's a few thousand to 13,000, how many show up, it's going to be about prayer to the name of Jesus. It's going to be to the Lord. The only preeminent one that day is Jesus. And so we're very intentional about that. But I think it's important that, especially if the eyes of the world are going to be on that particular city a couple days later, and we'll invite people from the RNC, we'll invite people that are Democrats from the region, we'll invite people from every denomination. We're very cognitive of the importance of the multiracial, multigenerational, and regardless of their political persuasion, we want to focus on Jesus. If we can just for one day, for 6 hours, lift up no personal preferences, no denominational preferences, no political preferences, no racial preferences, but say today, for one day, can we truly be the body of Christ, humble ourselves before the Lord together, because there's something that happens when we enter into the presence of a triune holy God. In fact, in Isaiah 6, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Something all of a sudden happens when we become undone in ourselves. 2 Chronicles 5 talks about when the priests come out of the holy place, they'll come out undivided, without division, and become one sound together. Then the glory of God will come. There's something about putting aside all of our preferences to come together for that 6 hours for a place appointed just for the Lord, and that we don't lift up our own agendas. Any other day, it's fine, but today, that day, we don't preach, we don't pontificate, we don't give speeches. We are sharing Scripture, we're praying, and we're humbling ourselves before the Lord and asking for God's intervention that is far greater than anything man has been proven to be able to do. In fact, I love what William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said, and when he said, I consider the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. This was written back in the early 1900s, so we realize that this is far more important today than ever, and we've already seen one of our political parties a few years back took God out of their platform. So obviously we're in a day where politics is without God, and we need to call upon the name of the Lord and get God back in every element of our society.
It's so well put. It's above politics in the sense that the God we believe in, he's king of the universe, and he cares for the nations. And as the psalmist said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God brings blessing when we humble ourselves before him. In fact, politics just means of the people. And how can we not be of the people when we're trying to bless and touch people? And so thank you for that answer. Thank you for your emphasis. I imagine at times, though it's laborious work, fasting and prayer and leading this effort, I imagine at times it feels as though heaven is breaking through. Does it when you have these gatherings?
Absolutely. If you look at even last year, you know, at the different responses that we were part of and other prayer gatherings, that there are some significant things that happen in relationships. The kingdom of God's built on relationships. And leaders and pastors who normally would never even really associate or get along in the natural, as they began to nurture relationships intentionally, as they began to cross racial and denominational lines, something began to happen where these relationships began to be developed and far beyond the gathering. And we don't like to call it an event because it really is a calling and a gathering to a time of prayer. The worship is powerful, yes. The prayers and coming together in prayer is powerful. People have told me it was the best prayer meeting they've ever been to, and that was even the people watched it streaming because they saw there was a uniqueness. Nobody ever took an offering, never peddled anything, never sold anything. We didn't try to promote anything. All we did was, for those 6 hours, call upon the name of the Lord together as a code of many colors crossing our racial, denominational, generational lines. It's a very powerful time, and we've seen the results of even after each response where the relationships continue. Like, for example, in Orlando, now many of the leaders are getting together on a regular basis in different parts of the state, and once a month in some areas are still getting together to talk about what is God saying to us. We're seeing the same thing in North Carolina, South Carolina. We saw how many churches get rallied together after the tragic shooting at Mother Emanuel AME Church, as we alluded to earlier, and how prior to that, the response came 4 days before that. And then when that happened, that tragedy, the church literally went arm in arm together. Every race and every denomination came together, thousands, to stand for the Lord and to stand with Mother Emanuel AME Church after their tragedy. Hmm. And rather than violence go across America from Charleston, South Carolina, the church took a precedence, took a right posture together, linked arm in arm together, and sent a message to America that reverberated on healing and hope that came from the church. The church took its right posture and its right position, and healing began to reverberate across America. Yes, there's a lot of issues we still have to deal with, but when the church rallies together, stands together intentionally, it will diminish the influence of outside agitation, and it will also bring healing and hope and a sense of purpose and hope for the future.
So listeners, I encourage you to put on your calendar the date of July 16. You can join if you're not local. If you're in Ohio, if you're near Cleveland, you've got to go. Get out there and be part of the response. It will be a powerful time. But if not, you can get onto the live stream. And you can be part of the prayer force. Tell us about the prayer force.
Absolutely. Go to the website, which is www.theresponseusa.com. There's a thing where they can join the prayer force. We already have about 5,000 people that commit to praying every day. In fact, this time we're going to do starting 40 days before the response in Cleveland. We're going to have daily prayer points that will be praying and how to pray for Cleveland and in Ohio and for the nation. We have millions of people around the world that have agreed to join in prayer to pray for the Church of America. So This is a powerful time to join in with not just those who will be there on July 16th, but 40 days for every day for 40 days prior to that. We'll be joining in with thousands of people praying, hundreds of thousands of people around the world, maybe millions, because I know there's 2 million Christian intercessors in Indonesia that pray for the Church of America every day. And we have underground churches of Iran, Uganda, those churches in Nigeria, Botswana, India, all over the world, churches praying for the Church of America. So we're tapping into this corporate sense of crying out to heaven and asking heaven for an intervention. As we all appeal to heaven together, I know God's hearing from heaven will move on our behalf.
Fantastic. Doug Strainer, thank you for obeying God's call, for being his servant, and may he protect you and continue to use you. And I join with you, and I hope all the listeners in this movement just burgeoning around the country. Thanks be to God, and thank you for this time.
Thank you, sir, for having me.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.